Welcome to the Body Mind Spirit Podcast, a podcast for the Association for Body Mind Spirit Therapy, otherwise known as the ABMST. This brief interview is one of a series of interviews that are launching this brand new association. The ABMST is a professional association for any practitioner in the world that has a value of integrating the body, the mind, and the spirit within their therapeutic work. And as if you've had the opportunity, or as you get to know body, mind, spirit practitioners, common values begin to surface. Common values begin to see are the values of bridge building and de-siloing. These values come from recognizing that to truly work with an entire person requires a practitioner who avoids thinking strictly in terms of physical bodies, or strictly in terms of psychology, or strictly in terms of spirit soul, but rather looks to hold and engage all at the same time. This bridge building and big picture way of thinking is encapsulated for us at the ABMST by the phrase be more. In the sense of be a counselor, but be more than a counselor. Be a massage therapist, but be more than a massage therapist. Be a human, but be more than a human. In short, the ABMST is for like-minded practitioners who embody and the spirit and drive of bridge building, de-siloing, being big, and being more. Today we are visiting with one of the ABMST's founding board members, Heather Lefevre, whose role is influential both in holding the vision and mission, but also in her own personal trajectory to get to this point and moving forward. Heather, really glad you're here. Let's just begin with a real, you know, the core question. What does the phrase be more mean to you, and how has it played a role in your life?
Thank you, Eric. It's so nice to be here. For me, I feel like Be More really aligns with my own beliefs that I want to respect my impulse to learn. And I feel like this idea respects my impulse to learn, respects the benefits that all of us learning more will create in our outer society. And then being able to connect with other people, this kind of work that we've chosen to do can be solitary, lone wolf at times, and to just find more avenues for us to connect as people. The way that it's connected for me in my life, it's been a similar trajectory of academia in particular, doing bachelor's degree, master's degree, working in the corporate world and climbing the ladders in different ad agencies and both domestically in the US and internationally outside of the US. And now to have personally experienced chronic pain and needed a lot of different kinds of practitioners to help me to get out of it. And being a part of helping other people in a profound way to feel like I feel like in my advertising world, I was maybe not contributing to society. And now I feel like maybe there's a karmic shift going on when I genuinely can see that I'm helping people.
So, love everything that you just said. And I'm a big fan of the idea that wisdom tends to lie in the overlaps. And, you know, you just talked about the advertising world being very different from the healing world that you're participating in now, but I'm sure there are some overlaps. What are some of those shared overlaps or skills that that are bringing those together for you?
I mean, I feel a strong compulsion to bring some of those skills of communication. So for example, my first time experiencing craniosacral therapy, I just got on the table and wasn't told very much about what to truly expect. And I had a big emotional release that very much surprised me. So even on the very basic level of explaining to my clients, I have a little explainer that I do. I ask permission. Is it okay if I share my understanding of cranio with you before we get started? And I feel like that has shaped my practice in a profound way. And so I would like to see a lot more of these skills find their overlap. And it's something that I've just gotten started with.
Nice. And what was your role in the advertising world?
I worked as a brand strategist for over 20 years, both inside of big advertising agencies, working with companies like Emirates Airline and Burger King. And then I've been a solo practitioner for about 8 years.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Awesome. So with your earlier intro, there are a couple of keywords I kind of wanted to pull out that just kind of caught my attention. The first one that came up was this impulse to learn. And there's something really delicious about the word impulse. What does the idea of impulse mean to you, and how does that move into the impulse to learn for you?
So to me, impulse means something that's natural and innate, and I couldn't stop it. If I tried, I could probably find it be repressed by others, but it would make me small and probably make me sick. It's something who I naturally am, and I see that in a lot of other people, but it's kind of to an extreme with me. I just took a class to learn how to be a community health worker and a mental health first aider. I took a class on how to make TikTok videos because it's specifically different for TikTok versus other social media. Working with a coach because building a business as a consultant is highly different from building a hands-on bodywork business. So just all kinds of aspects of learning are fun for me. And I think when I respect that quick noticing of if I see a class that's coming up and I think that I might be interested in it, respecting that and just signing up for it.
It's almost like you're painting this picture. Well, you are painting this picture of it's not a cognitive process, it's not a rational process, but like this deep kind of feeling inside that kind of propels and moves you around.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say so. I mean, part of my work in brand work is about insights. And so to me, one of the phrases I use a lot of times is insight is a feeling, and learning more about how the brain and gut are connected just made complete sense to me. Because when you read a whole lot of inputs and you're like, these three things really matter. I just know it. I feel it. It's aligned for me. And that very much paralleled this concept of an inner wisdom and the learning more and deeper about how the central nervous system affects so many aspects of the body.
Right, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about the idea of the impulse to be more?
I think it's one of the best things about the culture that I came from, the US, about idealism and not letting that be a toxic, go at your own pace, not let it be toxic, but rather let it be healthful, let it go at your own pace. But still respect that idea. And I also love this word syncretism of bringing multiple cultures together that I don't hear very often utilized. But multiple cultures have, everybody has good ideas, and everything that we do in culture, sometimes it's hard for us to see the water that we swim in. It's easier if we've lived in different places, I think. Psychology does this, that's great. Let's take that and blend it with this within our scopes, of course. But to help people to their greatest good.
Wow. Yeah, I love that idea. Love that idea. Well, and so there's the international piece. And then also I heard you mention that part of this is trying to help build community and kind of de-individualize, or to, you mentioned help us be less of a lone wolf as practitioners and more of a community. And then kind of indirectly or directly benefiting the world in the process. Could you say a little bit more about practitioners being lone wolves and needing that type of community?
Really, like compared to my other work, I had to work in a team all the time. And so maybe in a, 50 or 60 hours of working, I would be at my own desk a third or 25% of the time. Now it's quite reversed. It's more like 90% of the time I spend by myself or, with a client. But not amongst a group of practitioners where we are all joining our joint forces, Voltron style, to work on a problem, And only when we come together in courses or in mentorship study groups do we get to have that experience, I find. Maybe there's some other ways, but those are my experience.
Love it. Extra bonus points for the Voltron cultural reference on okay. That. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think about like mentorship programs that I've helped design and participate in and will be part of the ABMST as well, is, kind of acknowledging that learning happens best in community, or that there are different types of learning. Sometimes the best type of learning is receiving work and treatment in our own personal process. And sometimes the best kind of learning is being in community and learning from each other. And sometimes the best kind of learning is actually having a mentor and somebody who's a little bit further along and just kind of guiding you in the process. And I like how you're kind of painting this picture of bringing all that together. Again, really taking the shift off of us as isolated individuals. I personally resonate with that and agree with that very much.
And also finding ways to work with that are different. So I know one practitioner who has people do movement, like Pilates type movement for 45 minutes and then does table work for 30 minutes. I know another practitioner that has four tables set up at the same time, does more mostly visceral manipulation type work, but works on person one. And as they're integrating, starts working on person two. So it's like four games of chess going on at once. And I had never seen that before. So I just love to learn how, you know, the way that it's always been done isn't necessarily the way that will work for me or best for clients.
Yeah. Well, and I imagine for the ABMST, as we grow, you know, that's going to be one of the challenges, is really learning how to embrace that kind of, well, all kinds of diversity, but embrace practice diversity. Because somebody who has a value of integrating the body, mind, and spirit that starts out in psychology might have a different path and a different framework from somebody who, you know, is a practices traditional Chinese medicine and is an acupuncturist. So having to learn from all these different approaches and find common ground, I think, is definitely going to be part of what we're doing moving forward. All right. Well, so just a couple of questions, and then we'll go ahead and start wrapping up. I guess the first one would be, what is, you know, as a board member for the ABMST, what do you personally hope for with the ABMST, and how do you see your unique skill set contributing to the process?
I hope that it is that place that people can come to learn more, to find community, and to be that bigger impact on the world. And from my perspective, I'm hoping to help ground us in unifying ideas like Be More, so that we can cut through the clutter. There's so much that's going on in people's lives, and it's hard to see everything that's possible to connect with. But if we can have that one clear idea to break through their mindset and break into their awareness, then more likely to be open to all the great resources that are available through the association.
Fantastic. All right, Heather. Well, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it. And I'm excited for our future work together as we bring the ABMST into fruition.
I am too, Eric. Thanks so much for having me here.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. This has been a brief episode of the Body, Mind, Spirit podcast, introducing the Association for Body, Mind, Spirit Therapy, or ABMST. To check out the bio and contact information for our interview today, please come visit us at abmst.org. And if you are a healthcare professional and have an interest in body, mind, spirit therapy, join the ABMST today and become part of the solution the world needs today and moving forward.